This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live at the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. Great to have you along today. We've been talking to the radio audience, or our television audience, 110 million broadcast television homes. And now we join our radio audience on iHeartRadio, nationwide, coast to coast, Biz Talk Radio Network, and American Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. Great to have you today. You're not supposed to be looking at yourself. You're supposed to be looking at the camera.
I am.
Look at the camera.
I am trying.
Look at the camera.
I can't see out of these. They're getting foggy. I'm hotter than hell.
What do you got there?
I was on a shopping spree.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, well, you know, Christmas is right around the corner, and here it is.
Looks like you went over to Blender's Eyewear.
First of all, this will be the talk of the beach when I wear my new bathing suit. That is really attractive. Uh-huh. These are some very, I think you're going to love these. Crew, this is for everybody.
No, don't say that yet.
Well, okay.
We want to see what they look like.
Sully gets top pick.
I think I do.
And these are smaller because these are bigger. But these, of course, just
see, these are fantastic.
Or these would have been
look at these.
Last night in Washington at the
these
celebration.
These are really good-looking glasses.
Am I right? Did you see the Washington Naturals?
Yeah. Naturals.
Yeah, Naturals. They all had these on because they're plain champagne. So that's the new line.
Let me see what else you
got. Take
so you got Blender's Eyewear here.
Give
what do you know about the what do you know? What do you know about the company?
Huh?
Oh, look, the CEO's here.
Yeah, I found these out. Somebody left them.
Chase Fisher. Chase, I'll give you your bag back, and you can explain what we had. So first of all,
but I'm keeping the bathing suit.
We had the opportunity to interview Chase. You know, you may be listening to us in Dallas, Texas, maybe watching us on TV in New York City, but here, as you know, we're based in San Diego, California. And I do morning radio here in San Diego, in LA, and I also host a program on the weekend called San Diego Business Weekend. And I got introduced to Chase Fisher, the CEO and founder of Blender's Eyewear, from one of our reporters at the Union Tribune in San Diego. That looks like Michael Bublé, by the way, with a pair, right? I'm a movie star. Does it look like Michael Bublé? Can you pull up Michael Bublé, please?
I don't know.
Michael Bublé. The bottom line is that we got to interview this guy, and it's amazing because he's about 13 years old.
okay.
And he has a $3 billion company. There you go.
Yeah. Great. He's a wealthy man.
Chase, have you even hit 30 yet?
I did. I'm 31. Officially hit the third floor.
But you're still a punctrepreneur.
I'm still young at heart, for sure.
You are. So first of all, I have to ask you something, because our audience nationwide, and of course our military audience in 175 countries, has not heard of you personally, but I'm certain based on looking at your website, a lot of people have heard of Blender's Eyewear. You made this up from scratch. This is your company.
I fully started it from nothing.
Tell the story. What are you doing there now?
So I started here in San Diego, you know, about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Went to go see one of my favorite DJs at a nightclub.
So DJ is, Russ, when you go to DJs, it's...
It's boom, boom, boom,
oh,
boom,
yeah,
boom.
That kind. Not like, hey, we'll be right back.
It's lights,
afterwards.
It's music,
Toyota.
It's dancing.
Can I just tell you right now, you want these, and I want those.
I mean, those look so good.
Look at these. Take these off.
Take those off
and look at these.
Nope.
Dude, they match your jacket.
Nope.
Just you can't see because your sunglasses are
fully blended.
I love these. I don't like those.
You haven't seen what color they are because you have damn sunglasses on. Take them off for a second.
No,
just for a second.
You gotta split the bright ones. You know.
Huh? Those are boss.
You know, you look like a male model that could wear anything anyway. Russ looks like
what's his name? Bublé.
He looks like Michael Bublé.
Everybody looks like Michael Bublé in these things.
All right, so you went to a nightclub.
I went to a nightclub.
I'm sending those to my daughter in Austin. You know, you're not going to walk out here with a single pair of sunglasses.
Give him a check.
He hates you. Look at this. Founder of Sunglass Company. Watch what I'm doing.
He's
squirming in his boots
with
right
your
now.
Thing?
Yeah, with my thing.
You touched it with your shirt.
I did.
You'll burn in sunglass maker hell.
Sunglass blender hell. When you go to a nightclub,
okay,
you're just thinking, all right, were you single at the time?
I was single.
So you were looking at a target-rich environment, and you wanted to stand out of the crowd a little bit because you wanted a little bit of attention.
Yep.
Been there.
Yep.
And you decided to do what to do that?
and
you
I wanted
at
something.
A Target.
I went to Target. I don't even shop at Target, so it was kind of funny why I even went there. And the first thing I saw was a pair of neon green sunglasses.
Neon green sunglasses, by the way. I had a pair of neon green sunglasses in college.
Yeah.
And I slayed it.
But the funny part is
I got
yours,
more
yours matched your Speedo, which was odd. Hey!
Okay. Yeah, that was 10 pounds of you don't want that in a 5-pound bag. So you walked into this nightclub.
These are comfortable.
You walked into a nightclub with these glasses on.
Yeah, just expecting to have a good night, just to dance.
Just goofing off with a kid with a pair of sunglasses.
Always goofing. A 22-year-old just trying to have a good night out with his boys and you know, was feeling good. And, you know, went to go see my favorite DJ. And anyways, my shades were just like the craziest. You know.
Could it have been? Well, look, obviously after the fact that you got a gazillion-dollar company, I'm going to say it was the shades. But, I mean, couldn't have been the fact you're a good-looking guy. Were you getting that same attention before when you went to
nightclubs? I mean, I was also dancing like crazy on the dance floor, so I'm sure that kind of drew some
attention. But the point is, when you dance like crazy on the dance floor like that, and you got neon yellow glasses.
But you got to be noticed, you know? Yeah. You got to be noticed. And so I was wearing those glasses, and everyone was like, whoa, those are crazy. Let me try them on. And so it just... Start on the dance floor.
So how much did those sunglasses cost you at Target?
$6.
$6 sunglasses.
Oh, the orange, the Dayglow?
The Dayglow glasses. And you said to yourself, as a young guy that probably didn't have a lot of dough in your pocket, because no young guy, listen, nothing. I own two millennials, they don't have any money in their pockets either, that, you know, we need to be able to buy sunglasses that are cool like this, but maybe higher quality than you get at the drugstore type.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You know, I mean, I was a surf instructor, so I was spending all my time at the beach.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't afford sunglasses that were like $100.
Yeah.
So.
And you need, I mean, truthfully though, I mean, listen, if you're watching us in the snow ridden lands of Wisconsin, when you are a surf instructor or a lifeguard, sun's a real thing.
Yeah,
totally.
And you have to have eye protection.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you end up looking like Russ does right after he wakes up.
Look at him in the bright red, you know?
He can't
you look like Russ
down.
When he wakes up in the morning, if you know what I mean.
No, you don't just go to the beach and hope some wash up. That's another one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the steps involved? Because obviously, we've all had those ideas.
Yep.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a seatbelt for a pet. Or I mean, whatever the deal is.
Go ahead and do it and then figure it out. You know?
Hello, but China, can you make some of these for me or something like that?
What's the first step?
Honestly, just started Googling. I just started Googling.
Like how to make sunglasses?
Like sunglass manufacturer, sunglass wholesalers, and then that just led me to wholesalers in LA. I started making calls there.
Within what time frame? Like one day you looked it up?
Yeah, let's do this. Friday night he's at the club. Yeah. Saturday is super hungover.
Yeah.
Sunday is that Roberto's eating carne asada burritos. That's when the Googling started.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly.
And then Monday you called a guy in LA and boom. But months or a couple weeks between?
No, there was like 8 months in between that.
Oh,
so we were putting out designs on Facebook because we made an actual Facebook group before. Before we even had a product. Uh-huh. And so we started getting a lot of attention. You know, we had like 1,000 followers, and then we started putting out designs, and people were like, dude, those are awesome.
Oh, can I stop down on the follower thing? Because that's a whole other subject. Social, and I know that just only from interviewing you before, social media was a big part of what you
totally.
Do. How did, like, just because you put something out, I mean, people say, well, put out a blog. Well, just because you put out a blog doesn't mean anybody's going to look at it.
Right.
How did you get people to originally, like, How did the first guy find your first post of a picture of your sunglasses?
I mean, it was honestly like me working with photographers in San Diego that were very credible, that are also really good, that had followings themselves. So they were going.
So wait a second, stop there for a minute.
So they gave you some good back places to kind of.
No, that's not it.
Not just sunglasses.
I'm gonna out all of the action sports retail.
Look at this.
And all of the, because it's true.
What?
Because we've interviewed enough of them on the air here. We've interviewed every guy from Jeff Kelly to Beaver Theotisakis to Joe Cudla from Vuori, and I just realized how these guys. Not only they're very talented. I don't want to take away the fact that there's a lot of people that got great stuff that don't get out there.
Totally.
Part of it is having an influencer.
Right.
He didn't get an influencer individually. You went to photographers that were in and of themselves influencers. The main thing is you went to somebody who had a following.
Totally. And it was a seamless integration, right? Like they're going out shooting photos of models, or they're going out shooting photos with friends, taking really nice photos of San Diego that a lot of people are going to look at, right? And so they just bring our product. And we couldn't pay for any photos back then because we didn't have any money.
Sure, because that's a $5,000 price tag.
So sunglasses became another form of currency. So we just started sending out shades to as many people.
Now, is that what
you
started doing? You started giving it away, and sometimes somebody opened up a funky, because you know, advertising 101, you don't send them an envelope, send them something that's shaped weird.
You send them product, you know,
and they pick it up, and then suddenly somebody's
got follow up on that. You don't just randomly mail them, go, I hope they call me.
Totally.
Because part of what you're doing here is not only you're telling the story of your business, you're telling people kind of a lesson in bootstrapping here, because this really was a grassroots sort of deal. So, from making your first pair of glasses, I mean, did you make five models at the first time?
finals.
We made one.
You made one.
And it was the San Diego State colors, so it was like
which black is black and red.
And
red for the Aztecs.
It was called the Show, which is the student section at San Diego.
Yeah, I believe.
And then we realized how hard that was to sell one style with one color at a time.
Right.
So we ran
now,
out of money.
Now wait a second. Hold on. That one day.
Literally ran out of money on day
everybody
one.
Come in here.
Hang on a second.
Unlock the doors first of all.
Stay right here. This is I could talk to this guy for an hour. Chase Fisher. Blenders Eyewear. You can go to blenderseyewear.com where you'll see Michael Bublé wearing a pair of snow goggles. It looks just like Michael Bublé. The only reason I said is I saw a carpool karaoke with Michael Bublé. Look at those glasses. Look at the black tie. Look at the Polar Express. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. This is a fantastic story. You need to listen up. This kid is, well, smarter than you and smarter than Russ.
Look at the time.
Makes me look like.
Look at the clock. Look at the time.
What's this cold reaction where you've been? Ooh, baby.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com, nationwide, coast to coast, 110 million television homes strong, 150 radio stations in 175 countries. Big Biz Show is on the air. These look good. I look like a security guard. Yes, Mr. Nails. What do you got there? Let me see your account. All right. I can't decide. Here, Chase, put those out there. Take a look at these real quick, because... Look at all those glasses. First of all, I got to tell you, I love the two-stripe thing on the side. Nobody, now, was that part of the original thing?
Totally. Yeah, so the two stripes means life and forward motion. So, like, stripe one is where you are now, and stripe two is where you want to be. About always kind of like...
There's the stripe. Yeah. There you go.
Or like us and the customer, so we're always attached.
Are those functioning parts of the thing?
Or is it just a look?
That's just purely a look.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a I think it's a gripper. Logo.
Yeah, well, I'm... Yeah. Let's think of like electric.
It does look great because when you turn your head to the side, it kind of matches the very deep wrinkles in your forehead, Russ. So,
thank you.
I wasn't going there. It really is a nice touch.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even notice that until he left the other day from the studio. I go, these are like way cooler than I even anticipated.
Totally.
Okay, so we go from nightclub wearing cheap sunglasses, getting attention. To Googling saying, you know, there's a, you know, of course, Steve Forbes has said this on our show, find a need and fill it. That's all you did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and then from there, careful what you wish for, because now you're popular, and now I got all these orders, and how am I going to pay for manufacturing? I mean, those are some of the problems or some of the challenges that young businesses have, correct?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. But you think you're going to crush it on day one. That's the notion, right? You're 22, you're young, you're
going to sell 300 pairs of glasses a day.
Crush it, I'm going to be an overnight success, and you fall right on your face.
Yeah.
And I sold 10 pairs.
It's what you do next that
then
changes.
That was just rock bottom. Like, Drake may have started on the ground, but Blenders literally started on the bottom.
So wait a second. So what do you do when you decide, I got this great idea, I know this is it, you knew in your heart of hearts it was going to work, and you sold like a big just
40
in one day. So what do you do at that point?
Just I mean, you regret your entire existence.
Because you borrowed money to start the company.
You just like think about it and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought. Like the road to the top is going to be a dirt path.
Because there's a lot of guys selling sunglasses.
I mean,
there's a lot.
It's a $55 billion industry. And so it's...
Just a little piece of that'd be fine.
You know, just give us a little drop. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But this is all about traffic and conversion. It's about driving people to your website and converting them to sales. It's about driving people to your brand and converting them to be loyal customers, right? I mean, isn't that really what it all comes down to?
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, like, that's what you want, right? You want to convert a following, you want to convert a loyal customer base, and you want to build an amazing product.
And when you, and you have, clearly, by the way, Blenders Eyewear, you can go to Blenders Eyewear on all forms of social media. And then, of course, at the same time, blenderseyewear.com, where you can not only order, but you can, there's some retail shops coming up. But I know we're talking to the rest of the country here, so I want to talk make ease of use here. But what's the price point?
Yeah. Price point is 38 to 68.
That's right there.
Okay, this is the deal. You see nothing more. You can buy cool sunglasses.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the price of 10 pairs of sunglasses in every retail place in the mall, for the price of 10,
yep.
You could, well, you could, well, for the price of one, you could get 10.
The best part is the prescription side of it, too. I was asking them here on the break.
Look at Awesome Sky.
Can I put my prescription in?
Awesome Sky is my gang name, by the way.
It is.
Oh, wait, go down. Keep going down. What is that next one?
Keep going. Look at that one.
Nasty Ice Slime is my freaking heavy metal band.
Oh, that is.
I'm sorry. It's called Natty.
Oh,
Natty.
That's for the Seattle Seahawks.
See, here's the problem with me is when I go online like that,
you buy
it. It's like where we had Brian McDonald from Melon Caps Headwear.
I love Brian.
And Brian, Brian and I are very close friends. And Brian, I started texting him pictures of my shopping cart. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just one of those guys that these guys are. I don't need your free stuff,
but the good stuff.
But I'm not looking for free stuff. So I'm saying, right. At some point, I'm like, okay, this is becoming a problem. Now I have 17 Melon Caps, and I've worn like three. And I can see myself going on. Is that part of the psychology behind this?
Course.
Is when you go on there, and say, oh my God, I need that. Oh, I need that one. Oh, but I really need that one.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm starting a line of shorts.
Bring out new styles all the time. So
for the bigger fellas, Lululemon.
Lululemon. Lululemon.
Some tight shorts. Lululemon. You know, sit around the house. Some boxers, maybe.
When you have so when you went from selling ten sets of shades, was there did it ramp or did it automatically hit or what? How did that?
No, it was
manifest
a slow
itself?
And painful process.
Oh, this is for context. How many years ago was that?
That was 7 years ago. I mean, first three years were brutal. Like it took me two years to pay myself $1,000.
Really.
I put every penny back in the
business. So, and you were obviously making
everybody you knew had sunglasses.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You're a banker.
Yeah,
right?
Was there a point when you thought to yourself, I'm making something really cool, I'm giving away a lot of free crap here?
Well, like, I just knew it was a good idea, and I knew that there was a need for it, and I just had to figure out a way to make it work.
Right? And what was that tipping point for you? Was there? Can you go back and find one granule that
happened? I mean, there's obviously key timelines. There's not, like, overnight, like, home run sort of feels. It's just a lot of singles, you know what I mean? Yeah. So for us, it was, like, going from one to five styles. That was big.
Okay.
Just to build out our line, right?
How many do you have now?
We have like 110.
Oh, geez.
So it's insane.
I swear I'm going to own like 30 by the day. Because I look at that website. I saw like four pair I have to have like for the weekend.
Yeah. I had to take some off because I felt like I looked too cool for the group I was going to see.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's a good feeling to have, man.
I think the number one photograph of you in sunglasses were the white sunglasses. We were at that event together. And those two women were looking at you like, who is that?
Oh, yeah.
And you had a fake cigarette going.
Walking around like a big Hollywood producer.
No, you did.
Going like,
do you have a white framed set of glasses yet?
We used to actually have a couple white pairs. We actually have like two right now.
Okay.
I have to ask. I would like to vote, if I have any influence here, and I will give you as much free publicity as I can. Okay. I would vote that you create a sunglass called The Founder.
The Founder.
That is the neon green.
That's a good one.
I mean, I think you should call it the founder.
The founding fish.
I don't need any dough out of it, but I do want to have credit that said, hey, like Sully told me that on
TV. Inside, maybe in small
but,
print.
But it's the founder.
Yeah.
It started the whole deal.
That was it.
The
was
DNA, it. Whatever you want to call it, like
it was green, you know? Green
the big
means
bang.
Go.
Big bang, like, right? Yeah. The big bang. But I think you should do that. Probably like do the, I think you told me about, you know, how products put limited edition stuff out.
Mm-hmm. And like an anniversary special.
Well, it's almost like if you said only
limited edition,
only 500 pairs are going to be made.
Bring it out on like her ninth birthday or something like that.
Right.
That'd be cool, you know.
I get one of the pair. I'll buy them.
You'll get the first pair.
Okay. There you go.
See what I did? You know when McDonald was on the line? Yeah. Was here on the air?
Yeah.
I took his hat from him. And he was wearing it. I said, I got to have that hat. And he gave it to me.
Yeah.
That's even better when I could. It's almost like headhunting. I want you to wear pair number one, and I would like to relieve you of them on national television.
Go. Solid.
What's next for you guys? Is it, do you get acquired by Oakley, Ray-Ban or something? Do you go public yourself? All the above?
Just continuing to build a business. We want to go international. We want to break out further into prescription. We want to expand our product categories.
How about another thing, like a cool bracelet? There's some cheap ones.
You know, we learned early on that, you know.
Stay in your lane.
Stay
huh?
in your lane oh, and what? Be best in class in one thing before you expand your product line. Yeah. Into other categories.
I have to tell you, man, you're doing a great job. We want to kind of follow this along as it goes. So you are welcome to come back at any time. And I want to we want to help promote what you guys are doing because it really is remarkable that at 31 years old, and not so much as the youth thing, but the fact that you had tenacity. Because the scary part is you started this when you were not 31.
I know.
You started this when most kids are bumming their parents for groceries.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of it there. So
this is a good one.
Well done, Chase Fisher.
These sunglasses you can see through clothes.
No, that's on the back of a car. Chase Fisher, Blenders Eyewear, blenderseyewear.com.
X-ray.
I feel like making them a sponsor. It's like brought to you by Blenders.
Go ahead.
All right.
I'm gonna start. Blended, not stirred. I'm gonna start. Yes, you know what? Blended, not stirred.
Hey.
Look for the founder.
Yeah.
I see a way I can get a cocktail.
Look
on
for
this
the
show
founder.
My martini out.
I'm gonna get Michael Bublé to actually wear a feather. You watch me. I will have Michael Bublé wear a pair of founder's glasses. Big Biz Show. Live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. Nationwide, coast to coast. 110 million broadcast TV homes strong. 150 radio stations in 175 countries. And all the ships at sea. We are brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your for retirement. So brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Rusty. Get a Rock Mobile plan for $29.99 a month. You know, Rock Mobile was founded by the same guy who founded Patron Tequila and Paul Mitchell Hair Products, John Paul DeJoria, who was on this program and now cuts us a check. Or cuts me a check.
Did you tell I was lip-syncing?
Also brought to you by Bayer Advance. Better science, better results.
Better believe it.
A little company called Starbucks sponsored the show. They have a bigger, dare I say, bolder flavor.
I'm digging the bolder right now.
Bloomin' Brands, their fine family of restaurants, including Outback Steakhouse, Roy's Restaurant, Carrabba's Italian Grill, and who doesn't love seeing Carrabba's?
Oh, my God.
I like when there's two Carrabba's next to each other.
It's fun. I hurt my neck sometimes.
Send us a picture of your Carrabba's because it's such a family restaurant.
It's right there in the neighborhood.
Your Carrabba's.
So right around the corner, all around the clock.
Girls, send us a picture of your Carrabba's. We got plenty of men's Carrabba's in here.
Too many. I like the Carrabba's of Little Rock.
All right. There we go. That's out of here. Listen, thanks to Chase Fisher from Blenders Eyewear, who's sporting Rusty's glasses. That is a great story that we just heard. And, you know, the interesting part is the poor kid, it feels like an overnight success because he's getting all this press in the last few months. But
right.
In reality, he
for
started this company years, 7 years ago.
That, yeah.
What's going on with that hair?
Which what now? My hair? Oh, I ran outside during the break and I rocked out.
No.
All right, what do you mean? No, but these glasses, I'm telling you what. Everybody who sees them, I have another pair.
I have glasses that are very similar that I get a lot of juice from.
Yeah, there you go.
When we played,
lightweight,
when we
comfortable.
Played Cabo Del Mar, I wore those glasses and I had more than John Wayne Saddle.
Yeah. I had a pair where you could bend them and stuff and they would stay, and I mistook them for another pair that you couldn't. So I'm out of pair.
No, you mistook the other pair. Hey, look, Barry Coffing's here. Barry Coffing, of course, if you don't know, is a very famous composer, director, producer,
yeah, baby,
engineer,
the shizzle,
singer, songwriter. What else do I mean? You're a Renaissance man. I mean, you really are. He's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. I mean, you really are. You're right brain, left brain. What do you call yourself when you hand your business card out?
Drummer?
No, that's a good thing. That's the thing I'm not.
Because you know what they call a room full of drummers.
Yeah. What's that?
Prison.
Drum. Doesn't really understand music. Hey, that's what it's stands for.
So talk about, honestly, what do you tell people that you do? Because you are in the business of music, but you're in so many different areas. Talk about that.
It depends. It's kind of gotten to where I'm sort of functioning in three things. My core business is I do licensing for film and TV.
Licensing of music.
Right.
For
that's
film and TV.
Cool.
So I've got a foot in film.
Do you know the music in the beginning of this program? Can you play that off? Curtis Manovich wrote.
That's ours.
Yes. So it's in film and TV. So
how do we know that?
How do we know what?
How do we know it's ours?
You
know,
yeah, is it ours?
Do we hire someone?
Is it ours? That's a great point.
I could. You want me to tell you for real?
Here's the guy.
Yeah. Did you pay him to write it?
Well, yes, we did pay him to write it.
Then did you get work for hire
this
language on it?
Oh,
he's just a guy that works here. He's a guy that shows up.
Don't give up your stuff. You guys need to get that. That's some intellectual property you should be owning. You put it on there.
He's just a guy that shows up here every day. I don't know even how he got here.
They didn't sign you up ahead of time. I'm going to do both sides here.
Can I sing on that? Is it too late to get in on that?
Listen,
exactly.
Can you play a tambourine?
Can you hear that?
If you were looking for insightful financial perspective,
we played the guy. We played the guy that
keep looking.
Fred Saxon.
And Fred Saxon, who died. See, there's some mystery to this. There's a Beatles White album behind this because the guy's played Sax.
His trust is in the lawsuit now.
Yeah.
Oh, good one, Bob.
Right. I want to take that question back.
But licensing music, then, to have the rights to say that's my tune.
Yeah. There's two sets of licenses. So there's the composition. mm-hmm. which would be the synchronization license. Mm-hmm. I wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. Okay. And then there's the recording, which is a master license right. So you have to secure right. both. So if you're doing it for a film or a TV show, you got to go talk to the publisher, the songwriters, everybody who wrote on it. You have to get their permission. Okay. And then you got to go to Warner Brothers or whoever paid for the recording
wow.
and get their permission. So it's a pretty hairy legal deal.
So let's go to MusicSupervisor.com, which is one of Barry's many companies. And MusicSupervisor.com is a terrific site. And if you spend any time there whatsoever, you'll find nothing but movie posters and television shows. I'll talk about that business because it really is. You really are a curator of not only film music, but also bands and composers and such.
Yeah, when we started it, because I had started writing for film and TV, and I have 200 of my own songs in film and TV.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to be a music supervisor, I realized there was a lot of software to make me, able to make music, but nothing to find it. And so,
let me pause you there for a minute, because when you first decided, because there's, you've got frustrated musicians.
Yeah. Thank
you. Then you have musicians.
Yeah.
And then you have performers of music. Mm-hmm. And then you've got composers.
Right.
Which I would argue that sort of we all are.
Right.
Wow.
And there's a lot of guys like that out there and that are trying to do what you do. How did you first, what was the tipping point when you said, I'm going to have, the Sid Ubu Sit guy hire you for some music?
I grew up in Houston, Texas. I went to the high school for the performing and visual arts and, started a band. And then I started doing jingle singing. So wow. I did all the Astroworld commercials for 10 years.
Was, uh-huh.
Come away with us to Astroworld. It's like, and I did buy out
Russ,
which you should never
Russ
do.
Is like, Russ is going crazy right now because this is Russ's whole life.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, so I did that, had all the bands. Here. And then a guy named Steve Tyrell, who grew up there, was working with a really famous songwriter named Barry Mann. And Barry Mann wrote, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, uh-huh. Just Once, Here You Come Again, all these uh-huh. great hits. And they were starting a production company. And they said, do you know any good writers? And my name came up.
So you're the right place, right time, you're the guy.
So
what happens when you're a talented guy that doesn't know the guy?
You come to me because I've put together a company to help you guys.
There we go.
Just like that.
Yeah. And you know what you're going to like, sir? You, sir, charge you nothing to sign up. Put your stuff up. You want to leave,
let's talk about that. Because if you have music or you need music, you can go to MusicSupervisor.com.
Right.
But the point is that it's all about, you can put your stuff up, but you and I were talking about off the air about Spotify and stuff. Everybody puts their stuff up.
Yeah.
But then it's just caught in the traffic and the mill and the population. And how does this stick out?
Well, that's the problem with Spotify. Is Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Amazon.
Where you put all your stuff.
Yeah, those things are designed to be stores.
Yeah.
You there was never, you had to know what you wanted. You were never supposed to be in a store. They have 50 million songs now.
Yeah, you get lost in the crowd.
Yeah, everybody does. Yeah. So, and what Spotify's way of finding things is, you'll find it with a playlist.
Yeah.
Well, do you know how many playlists they have?
Yeah.
A billion.
A billion playlists.
So that doesn't narrow it down.
Hey, Russ, can you
explain? That'll be a couple hours.
Can you explain, Russ, what a playlist is first?
A playlist has to be a
No, tell us. Tell us. You know what a playlist is.
A playlist?
What's a playlist?
A playlist is a list of songs that you want to play.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
the secret.
Relax.
That's the secret sauce to Spotify.
Well,
you're on a list of songs.
So
the more lists,
relax, and you want that playlist, you get all these.
Well,
bands.
The point is that you want to have your song on as many playlists as you can, and then it goes viral.
And there are some super playlists that have 100,000, 200,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
So if you get on that, boom, you automatically get a bunch of spins.
Now, how do you do that? You got nothing to do with that.
I'm trying to circle around all this stuff, but on the music supervisor thing, we built this for music supervisors. I need a rock song, mid-tempo with a male vocal. It sounds like that band Oasis from the 1990s that's kind of sad, but has birthday in the lyric. And I need it in Portuguese, and it has to have acoustic guitar.
Is that really?
And so we spent $1.4 million on our search engine. It goes,
by the way,
ding,
Curtis
ding,
has
ding.
That, by
Here
the way.
You go. Yeah.
Curtis wrote that song.
And then once they find the song they like, we go, okay, what do you need it for? It's a $10 million picture.
Huh?
I want foreign theatrical rights, domestic DVD, in-context trailer, check a box. It goes, here's the price.
Can we get a close-up on Russ right now?
I'm amazed. Just all
look at the look on his face.
You can check, more boxes than the doctor at a free clinic. I'm telling you what, you have to really get specific about what that kind of music
is. Well, when you're working on a film, they are specific.
Yes.
Does the director come to you and say, I want that kind of thing?
Not usually. I mean, it can go either way, but sometimes they'll let you have selected, and sometimes they'll go, I can't afford this Whitney Houston song.
Right.
Get me somebody who sounds like Whitney Houston.
Right.
Like, we just put something in Miss Maisel this week.
God, love Miss Maisel.
I know. Great.
Have you seen Pamela's Miss Maisel?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. So we did that, and we're doing stuff like that all the time, and they're very specific. We had something in Green Book, and we have a whole catalog of incredible, like, music from the 50s of bands that didn't actually make it.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So I've got the Cliquettes, which is the lead singer of the Shirelles before she got in the Shirelles.
See?
So you can't fake those recordings. So if you want something vintage and you can't pay $1 million, come see me.
There's a lot of spokes coming.
And then you pay the musicians. All right, stay right there.
Right?
Oh, Barry Coffey's going to be our music expert, the music business. The business of music, finally. We've never had a music business expert on the program.
Never. You're the best guest we've ever had. There it is. Sorry, everybody else. You are not as good as this guy.
I can write a better song.
All right. Big show. BigBizShow.com. Nationwide, coast to coast. Barry Coffey coming back. Listen to the crowd. The live studio audience is loving Barry.
Wow, wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year? Whoa!
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. Barry Coffing with MusicSupervisor.com, who is a music supervisor. Can you also define for us, a music supervisor is the guy that's in TV and film when the director or the producers say, hey, we need like the Friends theme.
Right.
Right? And you go out and find the Friends theme.
Yeah, it's supervision is a lot more than that. It can be anything. Like, what you're talking about is more what they call clearance.
Okay.
So it's really? Like, that's a whole different division.
Yeah, it's something the supervisors do.
Yeah.
But they'll say, like, right now I've got a film and the director wants me to clear Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And wants us to do a new kind of hip version of it.
So are you the... Do you make the decision on the music, or do you offer up a plate of music and then they make
the
decision?
Well, you're kind of... It can be anything from their collaborator to their B-word. Some directors are just rude. But they're rude.
And
they'll just come in and go, do this, do that, do this, and tell you everything. Other ones that are smarter will say, hey, what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll go in and I'll cut three different versions into the thing. Hey, here's what if the kids were listening to hip-hop. Here's if they were listening to that.
Wow.
Now what I'm trying to do, I'm working on a new film called The Never List. It's a really good film.
Sounds scary.
And I'm picking all young bands with really high social media numbers.
Oh, yeah, high social media numbers.
Well, he's got him. He's fine. Anyway.
It's a really good...
Now, wait a second. Let's talk about the social media angle here.
Yeah.
So it's amazing because followers...
Yeah.
Or sometimes get you in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So how does one do that? If you have an unknown band like Worthy Gubbins, what the hell's name of his band?
No, Difam.
Difam.
Yeah.
So, I'm just confused. But if you have a small, let's say, talented kids that are just getting on, like, how do they build that following?
There are ways to do it. I mean, normally in film, unless, like, this is an edgy film, you know, $500,000 picture, it needs that push of social.
You need followers to kind of push.
Yeah, I'm trying to drive that. They don't care.
So it's a value add type thing where you don't only get music, but I want you to bring some people to this thing.
Yeah, database with your base.
Or I got one where these two girls are doing a duet and they're about to get their own show on Netflix, and I know that already.
Uh-huh.
So I'm grabbing the tune before they're pulled off the market.
Oh, yeah.
So you try to grab guys that are just about to get signed.
Nice.
You know, somebody's got a deal pending with Warner Brothers. Get their song before they get gobbled. Uh-huh. That song that you can get now for $500 will be worth, you know, $50,000 in 6 months.
So this is almost like an investment type thing for you.
The only time, like anything you do in music, I tell people, I've never had somebody come in to sell their film and go, you know what? These sets are amazing. I'm going to give you another $50,000.
Right.
But I have had them say, the soundtrack's amazing. How much to buy the soundtrack?
See?
So before I let you go, because we're short on time, and Barry's going to be with us on a regular basis with the business of music.
No.
But before we go, MusicSupervisor.com is the website. And how do if there's producers or there's There's directors that want music. How do they get involved, and how do musicians get involved in this in bands?
It's super easy. There's Got Music, Need Music, sign up either way. The sign-up's a one-page easy one. Mm-hmm. The deal for bands, it's non-exclusive. We don't take your publishing. You can leave any time.
Right.
We make money when you make money.
Right.
From a supervisor standpoint, it's free to them.
That's
to
perfect.
Use.
Okay. And now, let's say they pick one of Russ's, you know, Rocket Your Pocket songs. Now, does he get paid on that?
Oh, yeah.
And you get a piece of the action on
that?
Yeah,
we're like a non-exclusive agent, so
yeah.
I want Russ's band. They're young, but I think they're going to be big. I think you better add another zero. Uh-huh. We try to get as much as we can with
the deal. Oh, so and then you guys get a little chunk of that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then there you go. Huh?
What a great job.
Look at you. You are just, I've never seen you like this
before. I know. He's the best guest we've ever had. I told you that already. And now he has to leave.
You just put your son up your couch. I know.
That's not happening. Please.
Exactly.
And the rest of the band.
Yeah, exactly. No,
exactly right. The once again, music supervisor. Chris, do we have enough time? Are we almost out of time?
We're good.
Okay. So do you find that you have, now that you've created this curation spot, now that Hollywood and now Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. is now finding you guys? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you out there still sniffing around and having to do that? Because obviously there's...
Well, there's very few real supervisors that do it for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, I joke, we're like the town hooker. Everybody uses us, but nobody talks about it.
Okay.
You know, how'd you find that song?
Best guest we've ever had.
I'm telling you. Get the crown out. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You got about a minute left. Do we have a minute, Chris?
Well, no. I'll just go through the channels, get the kid's song. You know, the song has to speak for itself. No one's going to go, they're a great band and they suck. Everybody knows that.
Well, also, too, I got to be honest. We place a lot of crappy music in movies.
What?
Because
they
your
like
background
them.
Music. If I'm sitting there and the singer gets his high note and I quit listening to the actors, then you're out.
So do they
so
call
sometimes
you?
I want you to be cool and lay there.
Yeah.
Or
did they call you and say, we need a mood. It's a graveyard.
That's 90% of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only 10% is a song featured.
Right, right.
And I'm being kind.
And that if the lyrics maybe go with the theme like, I just killed your mom. And, wow, we just happen to have a song. I just killed your mom.
Yeah. The number one problem is everybody tries to go, I just killed your mom or I just killed your mom. It's okay. Like, you know, the funnier thing is... You know, I love you so much as they're killing your mom.
Oh,
you
right.
Know?
Oh,
like
there's
singing
a twist.
In the rain.
You and then know, there's a trombone solo.
Orange,
all weird.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because you go opposite of type.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So now, I see your head spinning.
Well, I just.
What are you thinking? Are you thinking in terms of your son's
band? Oh, only
you,
my son. Or, not or, me. No, no, no.
Come
only
on. You can.
Because I love their music and they have good writers.
Does anybody else
Portland.
Love their music?
It's a strong music scene. They stand out there. I love them. So I
do they fill a crowd? Do they fill a room?
They fill a room. And the reviews about the room is an energy that is hard to see.
Look at you pitching.
Seated.
Look at
I
you pitching
the,
like well, the yeah, World they, Series I pay, reliever.
I am.
There's stuff that we're doing now is sonic branding.
Yeah.
We have we're
Sonic Branding is the name of my interpretive dance group.
That's good.
By the way.
Oh.
So we need to talk about that.
Okay.
So what's Sonic Branding?
So we go
into drive up hamburger place? No, not that Sonic.
Like 200 Italian grocery stores, we supply the music for their background music.
Okay, now you got to bring it. Now you got to bring in your your Live High Live network because Russ produces content for many shops.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What
and
kind of music would that take? Like,
well,
Grateful Dead?
So far, it's Die Fam all the way. I use my son's music and as the music bed, and it's energy. And
you ever wonder why your son called his band Die Fam?
Well, that was a kid they went to school with.
I think it was like Die Family. Die Family, get away from me.
What are you saying? He's not coming to the wedding.
I think
that's every 13-year-old,
yeah,
right?
Anyway, new music, like you say, with software, people are able to produce it in their basement and have a pretty good sound.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot to choose from.
Yeah, you got to be able to find it. That's why you spend all that money.
This is a good song.
Oh.
This is a good song.
Could this be Sully?
No.
No.
This is
are we off?
I just found this song. All right. Big Biz Show. Big Biz Show. Barry, thank you so much, man. Barry Coffin, ladies and gentlemen. Now Barry Coffin, MusicSupervisor.com is now our music expert here on the program.
And best guest ever!
Chris Yannick is our director, Jared Coleman, our assistant director, Molly the Tamales, our intern, Curtis Manovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow. And RussIsFunny.com because...
RussIsFatAndBald.com is taken.
Find us everywhere at SullySpeaks and BigBitcher.com. We'll see you Monday.